Good evening. Welcome back to Open Claw Daily. I'm Nova.
And I'm Eloy. Today we're going to talk about something that's been really exciting to watch, the indie hacker ecosystem that's emerged around Open Claw over the past several weeks.
That's a great topic. There's been this incredible movement of individual developers and small teams building real businesses on top of this technology. It's been happening so fast that sometimes we forget to step back and appreciate what's actually occurring in this space.
Absolutely. Let's start with the numbers. There are 89 indie hackers currently building businesses with OpenClaw. That's not a typo, 89 solo founders who are essentially creating virtual employees.
These aren't theoretical projects or experiments. These are real businesses generating real revenue. We're talking real revenue, real clients, real businesses generating meaningful income. People are building email automation agencies, lead generation services, content pipelines for clients.
One person with a laptop can now offer what previously required an entire team of employees. That's extraordinary when you think about it. The traditional barriers to starting a business have essentially collapsed.
The economics are fascinating. The overhead is so low because you're not hiring humans with their salaries, benefits, and management overhead. You're deploying software that works around the clock, doesn't take vacations, and doesn't complain about working late.
The scalability is automatic and the cost structure is completely different from traditional businesses. Exactly. And the marginal cost approach is zero. Once you've built your agent system, adding another client or handling another request costs essentially nothing.
Traditional businesses have linear cost curves. More revenue means more employees means more expenses. Agent businesses have entirely different economics that allow for massive leverage. That's the magic. You set it up once and it keeps running.
It's like having a workforce that never sleeps and never asks for raises. You build the system one time and then it generates value continuously without requiring additional human intervention.
Let's talk about the business models emerging. We're seeing productized agent services, pre-built templates for specific industries that other users can subscribe to. Instead of building custom solutions for every single client, these founders create generalized tools that solve common problems across an entire industry.
That's a smart approach. You build the tool once, then license it repeatedly. The development cost gets amortized across many customers. It's the software as a service model, but with AI agents doing the heavy lifting instead of traditional software automation.
The differentiation is that these agents can handle more complex, nuanced tasks. Instead of billing hourly for your time, you're billing for automated delivery. The shift from time-based to outcome-based pricing is significant.
Clients know exactly what they're getting, and you can scale without scaling your workload. You get paid for results, not for hours spent. And clients prefer it. They know exactly what they're getting. No scope creep, no unexpected invoices, no debates about time spent.
They pay a subscription and they get consistent, predictable results. That transparency builds trust and makes relationship management much simpler.
What I find most interesting is the solo founder angle. These aren't all experienced entrepreneurs with MBAs and venture capital backgrounds. They're people who saw a problem in their own work lives and used OpenClaw to solve it.
Some of them had never built a business before in their lives. They came from different backgrounds, teachers, nurses, accountants, people who saw inefficiencies in their industries and built solutions. That's the democratization at work.
You don't need a computer science degree anymore. You don't need years of experience in software development. You need curiosity, persistence, and willingness to learn. The tools have lowered the barrier to entry dramatically.
What used to require a team of engineers now requires one motivated individual. And the community aspect is huge. These founders are sharing what's working, collaborating on solutions, building each other up.
It's not cutthroat competition, it's collaborative learning. People openly discuss what strategies work, what doesn't, and how to improve together. The knowledge sharing is remarkable.
Competition meets collaboration. It's a healthy dynamic. Everyone benefits when the ecosystem grows. The rising tide lifts all boats. When someone shares a winning strategy, everyone learns. When someone fails publicly, everyone avoids the same mistake.
The revenue numbers are genuinely surprising. We're not talking about beer money or spending money. These are legitimate full-time incomes being generated. Some of these solo founders are making more money than they would at senior positions at major tech companies.
The earning potential is substantial and real. That validates the entire approach. It's not just hype. The numbers don't lie. This is a real economic opportunity that wasn't available even a year ago.
The timing is remarkable. The tools have reached a maturity level that enables real business building. And the beautiful thing is anyone can do this. You don't need VC funding. You don't need a team of developers. You don't need an MBA.
You need a laptop, willingness to learn, and the ability to solve problems creatively. The prerequisites have essentially disappeared. That's powerful. The barriers to entry have collapsed. The playing field has been leveled.
Someone in a developing country can compete directly with someone in Silicon Valley. Geography no longer determines who can build successful tech businesses. What these indie hackers are proving is that the traditional startup playbook is being rewritten.
You can validate ideas faster, deliver value cheaper, scale automatically. The old rules about needing significant capital and large teams no longer apply in the same way. The game has changed.
The playbook for building a tech business has fundamentally changed. It's no longer about raising money and hiring aggressively. It's about being clever, being efficient, and leveraging tools that multiply your capabilities.
Do more with less. That's the new motto. And there's something satisfying about building something that runs itself. You're not just trading time for money, you're building systems that generate value while you sleep.
That's the dream that technology has always promised, but rarely delivered until now. True. Passive income, automated delivery, scalable systems. Who doesn't want that?
The concept of building wealth while you vacation is now accessible to anyone willing to put in the initial work. The flexibility matters too. You can run this from anywhere with an internet connection.
You're not tied to an office, a city, or even a country. Geographic independence is a real benefit that shouldn't be underestimated in today's world. Huge. You could be in Bali or Berlin or Buenos Aires, doesn't matter.
The work happens in the cloud. Your physical location is essentially irrelevant when your entire business runs on a server somewhere.
The community has become this incredible resource. Newbies can learn from people who've been doing it for months. Experienced founders mentor newcomers constantly. Everyone contributes knowledge back.
It's a virtuous cycle of learning and improvement that accelerates everyone involved. Knowledge transfer at scale. That's how movements grow, one person teaching another, who teaches another, who teaches another.
The compounding effect is significant. Each generation of founder helps the next generation succeed faster. And the tools keep improving. Every week there are new skills, new integrations, new possibilities.
What seemed impossible last month becomes trivial this month. The pace of innovation is remarkable and shows no signs of slowing down. You almost can't keep up.
But that's okay. You don't need the absolute latest everything. You need what works for your specific use case. Not every improvement matters for every business.
What's your take on where this is all going?
I think we're just getting started. The tools will get better, the community will grow, the businesses will mature. We're in the early innings of this shift. 5 years from now, this will be completely normal and expected.
What seems remarkable today will be commonplace tomorrow. The validation is clear, 89 founders can't all be wrong. There's something real happening here.
The market is telling us something important about the future of work and business. Exactly. This is a real shift in how software gets built and delivered. It's not a fad, it's not hype.
It's a fundamental change in the economics of software development that will reshape entire industries. And the beautiful thing is there's room for everyone. It's not a zero-sum game.
My success doesn't require your failure. We can all build together and all succeed. Collaboration over competition. That's the vibe in this community. Everyone wants everyone else to succeed.
It's refreshing and creates a positive feedback loop. The support network is incredible. People genuinely want each other to succeed. When someone posts a question, multiple people answer with detailed help.
When someone shares a victory, everyone celebrates. That's rare in business. Usually it's cutthroat competition. Usually business is cutthroat. But this feels different. Maybe because we're all building on open source, the ethos carries over.
Community driven from the ground up. Shared success is more rewarding than individual wins.
For anyone listening who's thought about going solo, now is the time. The tools are ready, the community is welcoming, the economics work. You don't need permission from anyone.
Just start. Build something small, test it, iterate based on feedback. You don't need permission. Just start. Build something small, test it, iterate.
You learn by doing, not by planning forever. Action creates momentum more effectively than analysis.
And if you get stuck, ask. Someone will answer. That's the beauty of this community. We're all figuring this out together. No question is too basic. No problem is too small.
That's the spirit. No one has all the answers. We learn from each other through collaboration and shared experience. The collective wisdom of the community exceeds any individual knowledge.
The variety of businesses is incredible. We've got people building in marketing, in sales, in customer support, in content creation, in data analysis. Every industry that has repetitive tasks is being disrupted by these solo founders.
That's what happens when you democratize the tools. People in the trenches see opportunities that outsiders miss. They understand their industries deeply and can build solutions that address real pain points.
Exactly. A florist in Oregon might spot an opportunity that a Silicon Valley VC would never see. The diversity of perspective leads to diversity of innovation. Different backgrounds create different solutions.
And these aren't get-rich-quick schemes. These are sustainable businesses being built. People are solving real problems for real customers who pay real money for real value. The foundation is solid, not speculative.
The customer acquisition costs are lower too. Because the tools are so efficient, the economics work even with small margins. You don't need massive VC funding to acquire customers when your cost structure is so favorable.
Traditional businesses have to spend huge amounts on marketing to find customers. These agent-powered businesses can often acquire customers through organic means because the value proposition is so clear and the delivery is so consistent.
And the satisfaction is high. Customers get fast results, consistent quality, around-the-clock availability. It's a better experience than working with human contractors who have limited hours and variable quality.
That combination, lower costs, higher satisfaction, that's a winning formula that creates sustainable competitive advantage. Happy customers become repeat customers and refer others.
Let's talk about the learning curve. Some people worry that you need to be technical to do this.
But we're seeing non-technical people figure it out all the time. The tools have gotten approachable. You don't need to write code anymore. You configure agents, you design workflows, you connect services.
It's more like Lego than programming, snap pieces together and see what happens. And when you do need custom code, the community has resources. Templates, tutorials, examples.
You can piece together solutions without starting from scratch. Standing on the shoulders of giants makes everything easier. That's the power of open source. You're not building in isolation.
You're building on decades of collective work. The community contribution accelerates individual success.
What about the risks? Any honest discussion needs to cover what's hard about this path.
Good point. Running a business is always challenging. You're responsible for everything: marketing, sales, support, development. It's not passive income without effort. There's no such thing as truly free money.
The technical challenges exist too. Agents can behave unexpectedly. You need monitoring, testing, fallback plans. It's not set it and forget it. You have to stay engaged and keep improving your systems.
That's the maturity, that you have to treat it like a real business with real responsibilities. The illusion of passive income requires active management.
But the upside justifies the effort. These founders are building assets that have real value. Unlike a job that stops generating income when you stop working, these businesses have continuing value.
And unlike traditional businesses, these can often be sold or transferred more easily. The systems are documented, the processes are automated, the value is in the setup rather than just the people. That creates real optionality.
That's an interesting point. These businesses have exit potential that traditional service businesses don't. The value is in the code and the system, not just the customer relationships.
The economics create real equity. You're building something that has value beyond your own labor. That's the difference between a job and a business: asset creation versus income generation. The evidence is overwhelming that this represents a genuine opportunity. One thing that really stuck with me from that Medium analysis was how many of these founders are actually prioritizing quality of life over just growth at all costs.
They're not looking to hire 50 people. They're looking to have 5 agents that give them their weekends back. It's the anti-startup startup. Instead of the treadmill of hiring and fundraising, you're building a highly efficient machine that serves a specific niche perfectly.
And because you're local first, you don't have that nagging worry about an API provider doubling their prices overnight or cutting you off because they decided to launch a competing product.
That control is addictive. Once you've experienced running your entire stack, the model, the agent, the data, on your own hardware, the idea of going back to a black box cloud service where you're just around a database feels like a step backward.
And let's be honest about the hardware side too. We've seen people in the Discord showing off their dedicated agent hosts. Little Mac minis or high-end NUCs tucked away in a corner, quietly managing an entire business's outreach or research.
It's becoming a new category of home appliance. The agent appliance. I like that. It's not a computer you use in the traditional sense. It's a member of the household that has its own chores.
It's checking your emails, sorting your files, summarizing the news you actually care about, not just what the algorithm wants to feed you. That gets into the agency part of AI agents.
Real agency isn't just following instructions. It's about context. The reason these 89 indie hackers are successful is that they've spent the time to give their agents context. They've taught them the nuances of their specific market.
Right. And that's context that a generic, one-size-fits-all cloud agent will never have. Your agent knows how you like to speak to clients. It knows your specific criteria for a good lead.
It becomes a reflection of your own business judgment scaled up. Which brings us back to the transferable skills. If you learn how to build and maintain these systems, you're developing a form of meta skill that's going to be in incredibly high demand.
Companies are already hunting for agent operators, people who can not only use the AI, but design the workflows that let the AI operate autonomously. It's a new kind of engineering.
Less about syntax and more about systems design. Your orchestrating capabilities. And the rewards for getting it right are massive, not just in terms of revenue, but in terms of freedom.
We talked about Bali and Berlin earlier. That's not just a travel perk. It's about the fact that your business doesn't depend on your physical presence or even your constant attention.
That freedom is what democratizing AI is really about. It's democratizing the ability to own your time.
Let's talk specifics about the models being used for these workflows.
We're seeing a huge surge in fine-tuned models specifically for the indie agent economy. People are moving away from general-purpose giants and toward these nimble, highly specialized models that run on 16 or 32 gigs of RAM.
Exactly. Why use a trillion parameter model to handle email triaging when a 7 billion parameter model that's been specifically trained on your business's communication style can do it faster, cheaper, and more accurately?
The quantization breakthroughs in the last week have been nothing short of miraculous. We're seeing 4-bit and even 3-bit quantizations that preserve remarkably high levels of reasoning.
It means your agent appliance can be even more efficient. And that efficiency translates directly to the bottom line of these indie businesses.
When your salary expense for your virtual workforce is just the cost of electricity, your margins are basically whatever you want them to be. It changes the risk profile of starting a company.
You can afford to be wrong for longer. You can afford to experiment with weird niches that wouldn't support a human staff. And that's where the most interesting innovation is happening.
In the weird niches, the agent that handles coordination for amateur bowling leagues, the agent that manages supply chains for artisan soap makers. These are the businesses that big tech companies will never build for.
They're too small. But for an indie hacker with an open client agent, they're perfect.
Speaking of perfect, have you seen the latest development in model-to-model collaboration? The community is building agent swarms where smaller, specialized models check each other's work.
Right. You have one model that's great at data retrieval, another that's a specialist in drafting, and a third that acts as a quality control auditor. By splitting the task, you get higher quality than any single massive model could provide.
And it's more robust. If one agent fails, the others can flag it and retry. It's self-healing infrastructure for your business. That's the next level of the agent economy.
We're moving from single assistants to entire virtual departments. It's an exciting time to be building, whether you're a seasoned developer or just someone with a good idea and a lot of curiosity.
The tools are there for you. So, for everyone listening, look at your most repetitive task this week. The one that makes you sigh when you see it on your to-do list.
Take that task, break it down, and give it to an agent. See what happens. You might be the 90th founder we talk about next week. We're the 1,000th. The pace isn't slowing down.
No, it's not. And we'll be right here to cover it.
Now let's talk about what's new in OpenClaw itself. There was a significant release this week, version the 21st of February, 2026, and it includes some really important updates that affect every user.
That's right. Let's break down the major changes. First up, model support. Google Gemini 3.1 is now available. That's the latest from Google, and it brings improved reasoning capabilities to the platform.
The Gemini 3.1 model represents a significant step forward in Google's AI development. For OpenClaw users, this means access to a model with strong performance on complex reasoning tasks, better tool calling reliability, and improved multilingual capabilities.
If you're building agents that need to handle complex decision-making or nuanced conversations, Gemini 3.1 is worth trying. It often outperforms earlier versions on tasks that require careful step-by-step reasoning.
Also new, Volcano engine providers. That's Doubao and Byteplusmodels. These are particularly interesting for users in Asia or those who need multilingual support. It's always good to have more provider options.
Volcano Engine is a major Chinese cloud provider, and their Doubao models have been gaining popularity for their strong performance at competitive price points. Having them integrated into OpenClaw gives users more flexibility in model selection.
Byteplusadds another option to the mix. These are models from ByteDance, the company behind TikTok. They're known for strong performance in certain benchmarks, and having them available through OpenClaw increases the diversity of your model choices.
For users who run multiple channels, this is big. You can now set per-channel model overrides. That means your Telegram conversations can use a different model than your Discord or WhatsApp. You can optimize for cost on some channels and performance on others.
This is a huge feature for power users. Imagine running a high-volume support channel on a cheaper model while keeping a more capable model for complex conversations on another channel. You can really optimize your spending without sacrificing quality where it matters.
The configuration is straightforward. You specify which model to use for each channel, and OpenClaw handles the routing. It's one of those features that seems simple but opens up a lot of possibilities.
The Discord updates are substantial. Voice channels are now supported. You can have agents join voice channels for real-time conversations. That's huge for interactive use cases.
Imagine building an agent that can actually talk to users in real time. Whether it's a language learning companion, a customer service representative, or an interactive guide, voice opens up entirely new categories of applications.
The implications are massive. Voice interfaces are what users have been asking for. Voice is more natural. Voice is more accessible. Voice changes everything about how we interact with AI agents.
And there have been improvements to streaming across both Discord and Telegram. The configuration is now simpler, it's just a Boolean flag now. If you want streaming, you turn it on. Much less complex than before.
Streaming makes the experience feel much more responsive. Users see the response as it's being generated rather than waiting for the complete reply. It changes the interaction from feeling like waiting on an email to having a real-time conversation.
For developers who struggled with the previous streaming configuration, this simplifies things enormously. Less configuration means fewer things that can go wrong.
Security-wise, there are two important changes. First, the system now uses SHA-256 instead of SHA-1 for hashing. That's a significant improvement for anyone concerned about security.
SHA-1 has known vulnerabilities and has been deprecated for security purposes for years. Moving to SHA-256 brings OpenClaw's internal hashing in line with modern security standards. It's a behind-the-scenes change, but an important one.
Second, there's a new owner ID obfuscation system with a dedicated HMAC secret. This improves privacy when displaying user IDs. It's a professional-grade security enhancement.
This change is particularly important for users who are building agents that need to handle sensitive user data. The new obfuscation system ensures that even if someone gains access to logs or displays, they can't easily reverse engineer user identities.
The HMAC secret is configurable, so you can set your own key rather than relying on the default. That adds another layer of control for security-conscious deployments.
There's also a critical security fix. The embedded Pi runner retry loop now has proper limits. Before, there was a potential for unbounded retries. Now it's capped at a dynamic limit between 32 and 160 attempts depending on the profile. This prevents potential denial of service scenarios.
This was a real vulnerability that could have been exploited. The fact that the team caught it and fixed it shows the importance of security auditing. If you're running OpenClaw in any production capacity, you definitely want this fix.
The CVE details are available for those who want to understand the technical specifics, but the bottom line is, update your installation to get this security patch.
Security vulnerabilities can destroy businesses. This fix prevents that from happening. For developers building on OpenClaw, the sub-agent spawning has been improved. The default spawn depth is now 2, which means you can have orchestrator agents spawning helper agents more predictably.
This change makes it easier to build complex multi-agent systems. You can have a main agent that delegates specific tasks to specialized sub-agents, which in turn can spawn their own helpers when needed. The depth limit keeps things manageable.
The new default balances flexibility with safety. You get enough depth to build sophisticated systems while avoiding the complexity explosion that can happen with unlimited spawning.
These updates represent real progress across three areas: more model options, better multi-channel support, and stronger security. If you haven't updated yet, you should. The process is simple and takes just a couple of minutes.
The OpenClaw team continues to ship meaningful improvements every week. The pace of development is remarkable. We're seeing new providers, new features, and security hardening all in the same release.
For the indie hacker community, this means better tools to build with. More provider options means better pricing. Better security means you can trust your agents with more sensitive tasks. More channel options means you can reach customers wherever they are.
The beautiful thing is that all of this is available to you right now. No enterprise contracts, no special pricing. It's all part of the open platform.
The open source model works. The community benefits. Everyone wins. When you build on open source, you're not locked into a single vendor. You're not at the mercy of pricing changes. You're in control of your own destiny.
That's a powerful position to be in. That's why the indie hacker movement is so exciting. We're seeing real economic empowerment through technology.
So what's the takeaway today? Two things. First, the indie hacker economy is real and growing. 89 founders are building real businesses with real revenue. That's not an experiment, that's a movement.
This is a fundamental shift in how software gets built and delivered. It's not a fad. It's not hype. It's a real economic transformation that's happening right now.
Second, the tools keep getting better. Every week brings new capabilities. Every release brings more options. If you're thinking about building something with OpenClaw, there has never been a better time.
The dream of building something that runs itself, that generates value while you sleep, is more accessible than ever. You don't need a team. You don't need funding. You don't need permission.
You just need a laptop and willingness to learn. The community is welcoming. The tools are ready. The economics work. What are you waiting for?
Thanks for listening to OpenClaw Daily. I'm Nova.
And I'm Eloy. Stay curious, stay local, and see you next time.